You're listening to the Restoration Church Podcast. We are a church in Lexington, Kentucky, who believes that Jesus is restoring people who restore the world. Our mission is to join him. For more information, visit us at www.restorationlex.com. Thanks for listening.
Welcome. We're really glad you're here. And I know I say it a lot, but I really am glad you guys are here. I'm glad you guys are here as we continue our pattern series. And if you haven't been here, let me explain a little bit about patterns and what this whole series is about. It's about the idea of getting our spiritual lives out of our heads and into our bodies, into the everyday stuff of our lives. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of times when we talk about spiritual things, it stays in the hypothetical. It stays in kind of in our head, what we believe, and it never really finds its way into just our lives, the everyday stuff of life. So it's about developing patterns and habits and practices that actually form us. And we've let this statement by Henry Nouwen be a kind of a foundational a statement for the whole series. And he says this, he says, "You don't think your way into a new kind of living, you live your way into a new kind of thinking." So this whole series here, this whole story is about how we can, instead of just thinking our way, just putting more information about God into our head, how can we actually live this stuff out in a way that renews our mind? So we jumped into that, and last week we talked about how it's important not to just talk about what we should do, but why we do it. And the big why for us, the big why of developing patterns of growth in our life, is that God is always present and always at work. And so this is true, our spiritual lives, it's not this frantic pursuit to get God to show up, as we often use in language in church world, but oh man, today was awesome, man, God really showed up. No, he didn't. We showed up. We're the ones that showed up. God is already here. He's already present among us. He's already at work. And man, what a relief that is. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of empty religion out there that's pushed on us, a lot of how-tos and best practices and practical tips, but they're all meaningless without this simply a profound realization that God is not waiting on us to do the right thing so he can show up. This is the good news we have today, that God is here. Just let that sit for a second. God is here. And we see this in the life of Jesus, how he lived this God-saturated life, this reality as if God was always present and at work. And even his disciples, who spent almost every waking moment with him, they knew that there was something different about the way that Jesus understood and interacted with God, how he saw God's activity in the world. And this was especially true in the way he prayed. And it's interesting that in the first century, when Jesus is living, that it's a very prayer-soaked society. The Jewish people prayed all the time. They at least prayed three times a day. They did morning prayers. They had a prayer at 3 p.m. for the temple sacrifice, and they prayed at sundown, plus prayers in between there. And on top of that, they had this incredible heritage to lean on of 150 psalms of praise and lament. We just read one of these psalms as our lectionary reading, and every feeling and emotion, everything is in these psalms in between. And all things considered, this was a very prayer-saturated society. It wasn't as if the disciples were coming to Jesus as novices in prayer. They prayed all the time. This was a prayer-saturated society, from the least to the greatest, which makes the disciples' question that they ask of Jesus in Luke 11, "Teach us to pray," all the more astounding. I mean, everybody prayed, but there was something different going on when Jesus prayed. And as the disciples watched him, they found themselves wanting more. And I don't know if you've ever been around somebody like that, that they just seem to have an awareness of God, a prayer life even, or something that just is so different about them. You look at them and you think, I want that. I know I have, and I think that's what Jesus' disciples are seeing in him. They're seeing that even in this very prayer-soaked society, something about this man and the way he prays is so dramatically different. I know that's the way I see it in a lot of people that I respect. I see their desire for God most on display in the way they prayed. I think it's interesting that the disciples, they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and that's the only record we have of them asking him to teach them anything. In fact, Andrew Murray, one of my favorite writers, he points out that Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, only how to pray. He did not speak much of what was needed to preach well, but much of praying well. And to know how to speak to God is more than knowing how to speak to man. No, not power with men, but power with God is the first thing. And the same is true for us. And if we're talking about this pattern series and this pattern idea of developing these practices in our life, there's not a more foundational practice, not a more foundational pattern for our spiritual lives than prayer. And this makes it all the more difficult to grasp in terms of how we understand prayer, given that most of us, if we're honest, feel like novices, feel as if we don't really have what it takes. We saw this past week, and we did a survey on Facebook to try to get an idea of where people felt like they were in terms of prayer and kind of what their background was and what were some of the experiences they had. And the numbers were pretty crazy. You can look here on the screen at some of the stats we got. Number one, that 48% felt average at best in their prayer life, and they longed for more. And that was 48%. There was some that even felt less confident than that. So the majority, at the very least, just felt average in their experience with prayer. Next up, we have this. A combined 87% listed managing time and distractions as the biggest hindrance to prayer. Can I get an amen? Yes, it's hard to put down the phone. It's hard to turn off the TV. It's hard to manage our time. Lots of things to do, and so that's always a hindrance to prayer. Third thing here is this. A combined 64%, this is nuts, spent 5 minutes or less a day on intentional, non-spontaneous prayer. And what I mean by that, by non-spontaneous prayer, spontaneous prayer is when we are out there and we say, God, give me a parking spot, or God, help me to date that girl or that guy, or spontaneously praying in moments where we feel like we need him, but then in the moment, you know, where we settle down and actually do it, it's something more. Spontaneous is one thing, but to spend time in intentional prayer, that many people spent 5 minutes or less a day. And one of the statistics that's not even going to be on the screen here that we found was the majority of people who took this test said that they had no teaching on prayer in their background and their spiritual heritage, which is just nuts to me. So I know that a Facebook poll is not going to be your most scientific analysis on where we are as a community, but it is somewhat of a helpful picture to understand how most of us don't feel too confident, or we feel too busy to engage with prayer. And so in that context, we join with Jesus and we join with the disciples. We ask him to say, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And so what we're going to do here is we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. This is what Jesus and his teaching on prayer begins with. And we're going to look in the context of the Message paraphrase. I love how Eugene Peterson puts this passage in particular. He says this. He says, and when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. Mic drop on that statement right there. Dang, throwing shade. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. But don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with. And he knows better than what you know. He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. How beautiful is that? So as Jesus is our prayer guide, let's unpack what he's saying about how we develop patterns of prayer together. First thing we see here right off the bat, pretty clearly, is that prayer is not a performance. Prayer is not a performance. Jesus makes it clear. He says, this is your Father you're dealing with. You can let your guard down. You can be yourself. After all, this is family. Hopefully all of us have at least one or two family members or even friends that we don't have to pretend with, that we can let down our guard and be ourselves and take off the mask that we put on for the rest of the world and just simply be who we are in the messiness of our lives. That's what Jesus is encouraging us to do, because this is our Father. He says, don't make it a performance. We'll always be worried about what we're saying and what we're not saying, and if we're saying it in the right way, and if we mess something up, that God will be disappointed. That's a performance mentality. And in reality, the opposite is true for what Jesus is speaking about prayer. Jesus shows us that the Father, he wants the mess. He wants the stumbling words. He wants our actual reality instead of pretending that you are spiritual. In fact, it kind of freaks me out sometimes. I don't know if you've ever been around someone who they're talking to you and you're friends with them and they're talking normally. He's like, what's up, man? How you doing? And then you hear them pray and it becomes this very different voice, like, dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come before your throne in praise. And it kind of freaks you out there for a second. That's not how you talk. That's not how you talk to me, at least. And that's fine, I guess. But if God is our Father, we don't have to come with this sort of lofty, heavenly language. We can talk to him just as we are. God's not expecting a TED talk. He's not expecting you to talk him into listening. He just wants you. You know, there's no one in modern times that I've learned more about prayer from than a guy named Pete Gregg, he's this English pastor, and about 20 years ago, he started the 24/7 prayer movement that they do what it says. They pray 24/7. They have these prayer rooms that are all over the world in different countries. And he's got so much wisdom about prayer. But I read this in one of his books here recently. He says, the best bit of advice I ever received about how to pray was this. Keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. Man, if you're going to write something down, write that down. That is wisdom. Don't overcomplicate it with prayer, your prayer with fancy words. Don't pretend to be something you're not. And third, just keep doing it, even when you don't feel like doing it. Which brings us to the next truth that we see in Jesus' teaching. Prayer requires making space. Prayer requires making space. Almost all of us, friends, we can pray spontaneously as these needs or emotions come to mind, as events cause us to come to God. But as we saw in our survey results, very few of us are actually setting aside space in our busy lives for prayer. Yet Jesus says, here's what you should do. Find a quiet place. Get apart from the realities of this world, apart from the distractions, go there, away from the noise and expectations that easily distract you, and because God will meet you there. Why? Is it because God is only in the place where you are by yourself? No, God is everywhere. But guess who is not everywhere? You and me. We have to be present somewhere. And that's why Jesus is calling us into this moment of solitude and prayer, is because he is inviting us to be as present as he is and spending time with him. It's why we all need a dedicated time and space for prayer, because it allows us something otherwise we would not experience. And that is, we are fully present with God. And of course, that means we need to turn off our phones. It means we need to, at the very least, put our phones in a different room. It means turning off our TVs, finding space outside of all the noise and the busyness, expectations, and just simply be with the Father. Remember, if God is always present and at work in our lives, making a daily space just to be present and just to hear from him and receive from him is the only way we learn to be with God. And listen, to you, that may sound like, man, that's not very, very productive. And to that, you know what I say? Exactly. That's the point. God is the one who's productive. It's not our job to be productive in front of God. It's our job to join him. I love what Brian Zahn, one of my favorite pastors, he says, the primary purpose of prayer is not to get God to do what we think he ought to do. The primary purpose of prayer is to be properly formed, is to shape us, is to bring our whole life, not just our requests, but our whole life to God in prayer to be formed into the image of Jesus. I was inspired as I was going through this week, learning about John Wesley's wife, Susanna Wesley. You see a picture of her on the screen here. This is her Instagram profile picture. No, I'm just kidding. Her husband, John, was the founder of Methodism. I mean, has to be one of the top five most influential Christians of the last 500 years. He shaped so much of the church in the Western Hemisphere, especially. Great awakenings and preaching and revivals. And when he was deep in ministry, she was, as well, his wife, Susanna. But she also had some incredible expectations on her. She had 10 children. Let me say that again. 10 children. And on top of that, she lost 9 children before that. You know, I've complained about being distracted before, but 10 kids? And yet, Susanna, she was known as a woman powerful in prayer. And you might think, how is that possible with all the stuff she had going on? She was leading small groups as well with the church and was active in ministry along with these 10 kids. And yet Susanna, she had this way of experiencing the presence of God, even in the distractions, that is so inspiring to me. You see, when it was time for her to pray, she would literally pull her apron over her head and that signal to her kids, leave her alone. And under that apron, friends, she would cry out to God. She would mourn her children. She would pray for her husband. She would pray for the ministry that was taking place. And even in the chaos of her life, Susanna made this space for God in the most unlikely way. She set apart this time to meet with her Father in prayer underneath this apron. And now, I mean, her spiritual legacy is literally impacted millions and millions across the world, this simple mother who decided to make this space just to be with God in prayer. So prayer is not a performance. Prayer requires making space. And finally today, we see in the words of Jesus that prayer is rooted in giving and receiving love. Now, I don't know about you, but my default mode in prayer is this unspoken prayer list, this task of to-dos and things that I want to get done with God. I bring to God, I say, listen, here's all the things I'm doing to bring your kingdom into reality. So why don't you go ahead and bless that? And if I'm not careful, that's the posture I'm bringing in prayer. And it's funny how the way we pray reveals how we understand God's character, for better or for worse, really. I mean, you see, if the only time I talk to my wife is when we're talking about the things we need to get done, like something like some sort of business meeting to kind of divvy up the workload of the day and the week ahead, that leaves very, very little time for us just to simply slow down and enjoy one another's presence. There's a lot of things getting done, but there's not a lot of love. In fact, what better sign of love in any relationship than when you can just be satisfied to just be together? And friends, the same is true for prayer. Jesus said it himself. He says, this is your Father you're dealing with. And he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. You're not coming to the great CEO in the sky. You're not coming to the divine manager of tasks. You're coming to your Father. Which means that God's primary purpose in prayer, friends, is just to be present with you. To respond to God being present with the gift of we ourselves being present with him. And in the end, even the requests that we're bringing, even the ways that we're crying out to God, we're rooting these requests in his love, forming our hearts to be like his. And it's why, like, think about it. When we look back on so many things we've prayed for, we've begged God for, don't you thank God he didn't give it to us? that job or that promotion or that house or that boyfriend or that girlfriend, you look back and think, thank God you didn't answer that prayer the way I wanted you to. Why? Because of love. Both in answered and supposedly unanswered prayers, even though they are answered in a way that is for our good, we see his love for us. That's why Richard Foster, who wrote the great book Celebration of Discipline, he says that real prayer, it comes not from gritting our teeth, but from falling in love. You know, it's far too easy to miss the forest for the trees when it comes to prayer, to focus on the details so that we forget who we're with. We forget that prayer, friends, is not the point of prayer. Prayer is not an end in itself. Prayer is an experience with a loving Father who just wants to be with us. Again, Pete Gregg, I love, he said this statement that stuck with me about his posture in this. He says, I'm actually not into prayer. I'm into Jesus. And so we talk. I don't believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of God. So I ask for his help a lot. You know, in the end, for us to develop these patterns of prayer that change us, it will start very simply. It starts with love. You know, and the God that is always present with us and for us and always at work among us, he's the God revealed in Jesus, the God who's pursuing us even now in love. And friends, there's no pattern, there's no practice, there's no spiritual discipline that any of us in this room will be able to undertake that will ever mean anything unless it grows in the fertile ground of simply receiving God's love for us right where we are. So quickly to close, I just want to challenge us with some practical steps. Aristotle, he says that you are what you repeatedly do. And so if prayer is going to impact our lives, it has to mature and move out of only spontaneous moments. It has to move into intentional patterns. So I want to challenge you with four things here that I encourage all of us restoration folks to step into, starting even this week. The first thing is this, find a time. Maybe that's early in the morning before work. Maybe you're a morning person, maybe you're not. I'm not a great morning person. I have to do it a little bit later. Maybe it's before bed. Maybe it's on the way to work in the car. Whatever it is, I encourage you to do this. Find that time and then schedule it. Put it in your phone. Put a reminder. Make it a normal part of your life. It's not a priority in our lives, honestly, until we intentionally make space in our daily and weekly rhythms for prayer. So put that in your schedule. Find a time. Second's this. Find a place. In Matthew 6, Jesus encourages us. He says, go into a room alone and pray. And maybe that's not a room for us, but we need to find a space to withdraw from the expectations that are around us and draw near to God. So for me, it's my living room chair. It's the one not facing the TV. Or maybe for you, it's a back porch or your car on the way to work. But whatever it is, find an intentional space. And in the time you've set apart, just be there, be present. And just like Pete Gregg was encouraging us, keep doing it. Third thing is this, find a plan. Listen, I love spontaneity as much as anybody. I know the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. That's great. We should always be in constant prayer with God. But unless we actually take real, tangible time to schedule prayer into our lives, we're never going to grow into it. That's just reality. And luckily for us, we have so many resources, literally from 2,000 years of Christian history, to help us pray and be present with Jesus. You know, today you're going to go home with a week-long prayer guide and a big list of resources to help you take the next step. For me, one of the things on there is the Common Prayer app, which is this awesome app that gives you not only a scripture reading plan, but helps you speak through these prayers that people have been praying for years upon years and centuries upon centuries. And it's just joining in this choir of heavenly witnesses that have gone before us and praying these beautiful words. I used to be this guy that was like, oh, my 15-minute quiet time, and that's it. And I moved out of that and thought, no, I don't want to just combine, you know, to confine myself to this one little time. God's everywhere. I can always pray. But guess what? I never prayed. I never prayed and I never had a plan and it just never happened. And so leaning on the shoulders of those who have gone before us, the wisdom and the prayers of those who have gone before us is so, so valuable. So find a time, find a place, find a plan, and finally, guys, find a friend. Let me tell you something. Nothing will kill developing these new patterns in our lives like being in isolation. If you want to grow in anything, you need to do it together. So find someone, maybe in your community group or somebody you're accountable to, and say, this is when I'm praying. I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to check in on me. I'm going to share what's working. I'm going to share what's not. I'm going to share resources about some things that have helped me grow in this. But do it together. Share what you sense God is saying to you. Listen to what God is saying to them. Whatever it is, do it in community. That is the most important thing for our patterns, is that we have to do it together. And why? The why here today is that because of the miracle we stand in, that God is with us. God is present and at work in our lives. He's gushing with love for us. And his agenda is simply to be with us. And what I've been praying for our church is just that we, as a community, instead of one or two people seeking out the presence of God and listening and responding and saying, hey, everybody else, let's do this. What if? Just imagine if all of us recognized and live into the fact that God is present and at work in our lives, in our homes, in our jobs, in our families. And we don't want to miss out on that. And so we carve out this time and this place and this plan in our lives to seek God in prayer, to be with him, so we can join him in what he's already doing in our lives. I don't know if you know our mission statement as a church. We say that we believe that Jesus is restoring people who restore the world. And we say this at the end. Our mission is to join him. Why? Because God is already at work bringing restoration in us, even in ways we cannot see. And he's already at work bringing restoration in the world around us, even, again, in ways we cannot see. And our job is just simply to spend time with him, to see where he's already at work, and join him in the mission of bringing about restoration in this world. And I don't know about you guys, but I want in on that. I want to join God in what he's doing. And so I pray. Let's pray together. Father, I pray today that you would stir up the confidence of your presence in our lives. That God, those of us who have lived in this anxious reality of a performance, of saying the right words, of doing the right things to get you to show up, that God, that you would overwhelm them with the reality of what you're actually like. This good and perfect and loving Father that's running towards us with open arms, whose number one agenda is just simply to be with us. So today, God, we honor your presence with today in this moment, in this time of response, to be present as well. So meet us here, Jesus, as we listen, as we respond to what you're calling us to. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.